from the rare, incredible book, UFO Contact from Planet Calders, by Carl Van Vleiden, and Wendell C. Stevens. Preface by the publisher. This is a most remarkable account of a series of unbelievable, ongoing, in 86, events experienced in full physical reality by a great number of sane, healthy, everyday people just like you. Unbelievable only by those who have never had first-hand experiences like that described here. Entirely believable to the tens of thousands of Earth humans who have been involved in one way or another in contacts such as these. They will immediately recognize the familiarity of the nature of these unique contacts. This particular case is of special interest because it was carefully investigated and documented by highly competent and well-experienced long-time UFO investigators, one of whom became himself involved directly in the contacts. Carl Van Vleiden is a cautious researcher who doesn't take anything for granted. He is one who must see for himself, and that is just what he did, for years in this case. Cynthia Hind is well known as an objective investigator who strives to be scientific and spares nothing to get to the bottom of things. Together they have been unable to successfully refute the massive amount of evidence examined by them. Consider, as you read this account, that this report concerns only one of more than 300 Q-bases maintained about the surface of our planet by only one extraterrestrial organization. In addition to that, there are 5 bases of considerably more facility having at least one assigned spacecraft and several people, and a large number of H bases, all belonging to the same confederation of observers. I am aware of 3 other similar extraterrestrial confederations, each having Earth bases and Earth contact centers scattered about the surface of our planet, and none of them seem to be interfering with each other in any way. I do not at this time know how they are separated and avoid conflicts of interest. This case is unique because the contacts from the extraterrestrials at times came in on an ordinary commercial radio set that was modified very simply by one of the UFOnauts when he lived near the contactee close to Durban, South Africa for a time. These contacts were often observed by a number of other witnesses. The local government tried to shut down the contacts by first charging the contactee with operating an unlicensed radio station, although he had only a receiver, and later they confiscated that receiver. The UFOnauts responded with direct channel voice transmissions which were more carefully guarded. Many terms expressed here in familiar Earth language have been translated to Earth concepts as nearly as possible by a translating computer for our understanding, whereas they in fact have much more profound meaning in their original tongue. Examples of such terms are confederation, commander, command seat, divisions, squadrons, magazine, solar batteries, Eros, our name for a rogue asteroid, etc. These contacts are still going on but on a reduced frequency at this time as this is being written. Though the bases are inactive at the present time, most of the Q bases are still receiving messages from the extraterrestrials as you read this report. Students of the elusive UFO phenomenon frequently ask for more information on direct communications with the extraterrestrial occupants of these strange craft. This book is written almost entirely from such communications received in a highly unique and yet verifiable manner, witnessed and tested by a considerable diversity of people. The communications were carried out over almost a 20-year period using a radio receiver at first, and because of that they were essentially one-way contacts. After the radio receiver was taken, a sort of direct voice channel was developed using Edwin's physical senses to transmit and also to receive. With this method the communications became two-way and lively exchanges took place. Later still, a method of mechanically overriding the circuitry in a portable cassette recorder was tried and was then used in conjunction with direct voice channel through Edwin. An expected criticism will be the near similarity of features of our life with those of the cold Asians, almost as though one of us is copying the other, or perhaps our evolutions are in fact parallel. Another possibility may be some of us being descended from remnants of their culture here on Earth at other times, or the return of their Earth visitors to Calder's possibly having liked and copied some of our institutions, or maybe they even influenced the development of some institutions in our world, or we in theirs. It might be noted that some primitive societies right here on Earth, that are completely out of touch with each other, do have comparable ceremonies and customs. Perhaps these institutions are in a normal pattern of social development and could be expected to be found in many societies of a similar development and nature. It may be significant that something quite similar is reported in many other extraterrestrial contact cases, leading to possible conjecture that either there is a thing like cultural or evolutionary similarity taking place, or that all of these stories are simply fabrications of like minds on the part of the contactees. Perhaps they all tune into the same idea pattern in consciousness. From a study of a number of contactee cases, one can find quite definite patterns. For example, most cases involving human extraterrestrial beings have many similarities in form, custom and institution. Even the patterns of reason, concept and behavior have similarity, or any resemblances could be compiled from the case data on the human Caldasians, Amones, Norkins, Centrians, Vegans, Bavians, Pleiadians and many more. A similar list of divergences could be compiled for those specific non-human intelligent beings from Reticulum, Koshnak, Laga, Orion, etc. If this were only a case of universal copying of another story, one would expect to find less distinction between the two classes, and one should be able to trace some kind of interrelationships or intercommunications between the various witnesses. I do not find this to be the case. I do not find any evidence linking Edwin W. with Antonio Ribera, or Denard of Holland, Rogers Marcos of Spain, Albert Coe of Canada, Pastor Elbers of Germany, Mr. Y. of France, Eduard Mier of Switzerland, or with Enrique Carlos Rincon of Colombia and a host of others. In all these cases, the contacts went on for years before any information was let outside of a very small closed group jealously guarding their unique access to knowledge of eye-opening nature. In every case, a group did develop around the contactee who watched him very closely, testing to their own satisfaction and closely monitoring all outside contacts. They would have ultimately detected any existing inter-contact. These groups were in a position to know what was happening inside, often for years, before information found its way outside the group. At the same time, other groups were doing the very same thing, so that it would have been impossible to go back and change notes already made and verified months and even years earlier to make them agree with similar notes in another case. When Carl van Vlieden, already an experienced UFO investigator, first heard of this case, he was living in the vicinity of Durban. He personally checked out his leads only to find that the contacts were taking place within a small close group who tried to keep all information about the contacts from getting out. He tried unsuccessfully to join the group of observers, but had to content himself, at first, with studying copies of the recorded messages. He talked to members and witnesses and finally met the man around whom all this controversy revolved, an affair which had already been going on for many years. Once inside, he was amazed to discover that none of the people involved in these bizarre experiences were at all loonies nor sensation seekers either, but real down-to-earth honest, sincere people, who were themselves as baffled and amazed at what was happening here. But most of all, when he finally got to meet the principal contactee and chief protagonist himself, Edwin W., he found both him and his wife also to be dedicated, honest, sincere, straightforward church-going individuals. They certainly were not seeking any sensation nor even any attention. They, on the contrary, were reticent themselves and tried to keep a low profile and stay out of sight. They lived quietly near Pintown, where they had been known nearly all their lives, and everybody spoke highly of them. They could not be making any money on this because they let very little information out. They lived very modestly. Edwin did not lecture or write, and he sold no information on the case. He didn't even want to discuss it with anyone else. Van Vleiden found that they had lost their privacy and personal time to the dozens of visitors and sensation seekers who constantly and continually sought to take up the personal time and private space of this man, for their own purposes. They gave the contactee and his family no peace, and authorities harassed them, trying to discourage the horde of visitors, some with good intentions and some not so good. Edwin's property was invaded, things taken from his home, and he was pursued and watched constantly, conditions he abhorred and tried to avoid by staying as quiet and as distant as possible. A circle of friends had grown up around him to try to take the burden away from the man and his wife, and to regulate the visitors. Such a man was Walter Popple, who also came at first to see for himself, and getting to know Edwin and his wife personally, sought to help in any way he could. They finally arranged to hold one meeting a week to discuss and inform, and to try to get the visitors under control. Then the UFOnauts began to transmit directly to the group of people gathered for the meetings, producing a new and even more difficult sensation, none of which Edwin seemed to be able to control. Van Vleiden made several more trips to Thintown following up on his investigations, and finally quit his residence in Durban and moved closer to Thintown to be near this spectacular extraterrestrial contact situation which was still going on. He has been there ever since, studying the evidence, listening patiently to the hundreds of audio tapes of the contacts with the cosmonauts from another planet, as they claimed. He made notes and studied the people involved. Nobody can tell Carl Van Vleiden that this case is not real, nor the local pastor of the church attended by Edwin and his wife, nor his former employers before he retired to a homestead, nor his neighbors and friends, some of whom have seen things for themselves. This is the story Van Vleiden has chosen to tell through the words of the contacts themselves in dialogue with the UFOnauts over the many years, some of which the investigator was able to observe and even take part in. If this phenomenon is a creation of the mind, then on what level, and why are so many different individuals in so many countries communicating in so many languages perceiving such very similar scenes and events and describing similar contacts? If the events perceived are not real, then we have a worldwide psychosis of great proportion which itself deserves a lot more study than it is getting. If this is not a worldwide psychosis, then it just may be real. In which case it is imperative that we understand exactly what is going on as soon as possible so as to make urgent plans to confront the situation. Whether you believe this story or not is not the point at issue. The whole prospect that this phenomenon represents is at issue and is very important. This is not an only case. This case represents hundreds, perhaps in the thousands, of similar situations, in every country, involving every race type, and every language and culture in our known world. We had better learn to understand what is going on without delay. We certainly cannot say we are not affected. Here then is the story so that you may evaluate it for yourself. An extensive review of this particular UFO case by Earthlink, a British publication, is reproduced here for your consideration. Wendell C. Stevens, Introduction by Author. This account of Voldar and the Confederation of Planets may be read as an imaginative story created by the narrator and the author if preferred. As such, it may add to the literature about extraterrestrial visitors at the dawn of the space age on Earth. But if the story is taken at face value, then it must create problems for the reader.